Hi, it's Grace, and this is a special series of Frogmore Stew called Meal Prep. The politicians that run our state government are essentially the ingredients that make up the stew that is our state. And by getting to know each of the folks running for State House and State Senate, we hope to offer you a window into what we as the voters will determine the final recipe to be. Caitlin, TJ, and I took on the task of interviewing as many of the people running for those seats as we could. The interviews offer us a more personal look at the variety of people who want us to send them to Columbia. We learned a lot. We hope you do too.
I'm all set and it started with the meal prep. I'm all set and it started with the meal prep. I'm all set and it started with the meal prep.
Today I am with Tate Few. He is running for House District 72 in Richland County. Hi, Tate. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Good to have you on. Can you tell us a little bit about where your district is?
Sure. So District 72 is the Columbia area. So it spans from the Vista down to Five Points. It includes Rosewood and Olympia as well.
What do you think in your life, in your career, you've done to bring you to a place to run for a state legislative seat?
I'm a big community volunteer. I volunteer at the homeless shelter, so the Rapid Shelter and Transitions Homeless Center. And I have volunteered before at Homeless No More. That's one of my main issues right now, since Richland County has the second largest number of people experiencing homelessness. And just seeing those problems and being a volunteer as well in those areas makes me think that the state can support those organizations specifically, more so than they are now, because just the capacity for the amount of people that are experiencing homeless right now is just not meeting how many beds there are. The staffing is just not there. And there's also assistance programs that can be improved for sure. So I would say that my community involvement in that sense has prepared me for, based on what issues I want to focus on. In terms of just qualifications, I'm a law student right now, and I feel like I could be pretty well versed in the law when going into a legislative seat.
Your district, it's a solid Dem district. No Republicans have run for the seat in 10 years. And it looks like Seth Rose, the incumbent, has held the seat since 2018. Is
yes.
there something that you feel like he's not doing that you would dive in and take on?
Absolutely. So the reason I filed is I think that there are some really important issues that are going unnoticed. Especially homelessness, for example. As I mentioned, there are 800 unhoused in this district, mostly youth and veterans. And also there are 35% of people under the poverty line right now in the district. We need to have a legislative refocus to make sure that people are getting the supportive resources they need. I would say that Seth's focus has been on road infrastructure. That's mainly what the scope of his priority is.
Do you feel the constituents of District 72, that homelessness is the number one issue?
I would say it's very important. I've gotten a lot of good feedback from people in District 72 saying this is a problem, and we're seeing, for example, city council instituting punitive measures like criminalizing sleeping on the street or banning shopping carts. There are various types of homeless people. So you see those that are really like wanting to go and get into a job and just be good people and try to do their best. But you also have a few bad eggs in there, which I think brings more attention to the issue. I would definitely say I'm a proponent of making sure people in our community are safe. But for the most part, a lot of the homeless community just wants to do good and get the resources that they need, because right now It's just not happening.
Is there another issue that's top talk in the district right now beyond homelessness?
Something that's related, I would say, is affordable housing. South Carolina was one of the fastest growing states in the country. We're seeing lots of people moving into the area. So the housing demand just keeps going up. And we're seeing, for example, USC upperclassmen not being able to afford housing specifically in Columbia, maybe having to go outside the area to attend school just because of rising housing costs. But we're also seeing that since about a third of the district's under the poverty line, a lot of people are spending most of their paycheck on rent or on their mortgage. We do have assistance programs. A lot of these wait lists are frozen right now because of how many people are on the list. But also there's a lot of vacant lots that could potentially be used both to support the homeless, but also to create a more affordable housing. So maybe subsidizing affordable housing inclusions in new developments, or incentivizing like preserving affordable housing units that are in the community right now, I think those would be good solutions moving forward.
From a statewide perspective, do you feel like there's an issue statewide that on day one, if you went to the House, you would focus on?
What I would really like to see is ballot initiative in the state, because I feel like the state legislature, what they've done is supersede the will of the people on certain issues like abortion and LGBTQ rights. If it were left up to the people in terms of a referendum, then we know what the answer would be really for both of those issues. They're scared to put it out there because they know the answer. So I think ballot initiative is one of the only ways we can actually get that to move forward, because the legislature is just not going to act on it.
Do you feel like there are ample amounts of jobs for a lot of the kids coming out of college, for the new people moving into your district? Are there types of businesses you think you could attract to the community?
There's always room for more jobs, but I think that there is job availability. There's just not retainment of talent. We're not treating our workers well enough. We need to be looking at wages, making sure that people are making a livable wage when they're working. Also instituting paid parental leave. That's something that's going on in the state house right now. It's getting pushed forward, and I would be a big supporter of that. Maybe resolving the wage gap as well and protecting our unions to make sure that people feel that their rights are protected when they're working. I think that would attract more people into the available jobs that we have. But again, we have about a third of the district under the poverty line. So that goes into people having to work 2-3 jobs to make ends meet. We need to make it better for people in the area and making sure that people don't have to leave the state to get a high-paying job, especially a skilled labor-related job.
Do you feel like the infrastructure in your district is an issue at all? Water, sewer, roads?
I know roads is a big priority of my opponent, Seth, and I think that his approach could improve road safety as well. But I think that in terms of infrastructure, we should really focus more on clean energy initiatives and making sure that we have clean water in the state and moving us forward into the next generation of environmentalism.
If we got a hold of your college roommate, is there one funny story that he might tell us about you?
We had really tall beds in our dorm room. I literally made an entire little fort underneath there and put my TV under there and everything. It's just unusual, I guess, and he thought so as well, but it was pretty cool.
All right. If you had a magic wand on the very first day that you got to the House, what is one policy that you would change immediately?
I would repeal the abortion ban.
So now we're going to dive into what we call the lightning round. And this is where you stand on these hot button issues. 1 is disagree and 10 is fully agree with the current or proposed legislation.
I'm ready.
Medical marijuana.
10.
Lawyer legislators on the Judicial Merit Selection Committee.
1.
How judges are currently chosen through the Judicial Merit Selection Committee.
5.
In our schools, there was legislation a couple of years ago limiting diversity, equity, inclusion, and what some people refer to as critical race theory being taught in our schools.
1.
Transgender care ban for minors.
1.
School vouchers for all.
1.
Constitutional open carry.
1.
And the heartbeat bill 6-week abortion ban.
1.
And there we go. That is Tate Few running for House District 72. He will be on the Democratic primary ticket running against Seth Rose. Today, we are here with Susie Spurgeon. Susie is running for House District 82. Susie, welcome to Frogmore Stew.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So can you tell us where your district is?
My district is in the southeastern part of Saluda County, about 2/3 of the northern, eastern, central part of Edgefield County, and a little pigtail off of Highway 191-19 that goes down into Aiken County.
Do you feel like your life has been leading to this moment? Have you always wanted to be in politics, or Did something happen that you felt like you needed to run?
I have not always wanted to be in politics. I've always kept in touch with the political field, but actually being a candidate was something that I hadn't really considered. And a couple years ago, I had an individual tell me that if I didn't like the way something was done, to run for office. And I said, I think I just might.
So Bill Clyburn is the incumbent, and it looks like he's been in office since 1994, and he is being primaried this year by another Democrat. You are the Republican in the race. What do you think needs to happen in District 82 that has not happened?
I will never say anything bad about Bill Clyburn. He's done an excellent job as the representative for District 82. What I want to see is somebody who actually is going to put boots on the ground and go to restaurants in the area, meet people, talk to people, not just stay where they live, but go out to the different areas of District 82. And that is something that I already do, and I have done for the past 18 years.
In your career, in your life, what do you feel like has prepared you to start as a legislator on day one?
I am what I call a Jill of all trades. I've worked private sector, government sector, military. My prior job as the emergency management director for Edge Hill County, I got to know a lot of the state, local, county officials, not just in Edgefield County, but in the surrounding area and across the state.
Do you feel like there's enough industry in your district? Do you feel like there are enough gray and white collar jobs?
It's a delicate balance between bringing growth to the area and sustaining what we have as a rural community. We could use some more manufacturing. We need a little bit more industrial up towards the Johnston, Saluda area. We have a lot of it down towards Aiken, but it's also finding that balance. And if we don't have the personnel to staff all the positions that are available, it doesn't do any good for the industries to come here. A lot of the large industries currently right now are looking for individuals to work. And we need that balance also with the white and gray collar jobs, because not everybody can do manufacturing and industrial.
I know your district is a little bit more rural. Do you feel like there are key pieces of infrastructure that need to be addressed?
There definitely is. The Water and Sewer Authority in Edgefield County, which also goes down into part of Edgefield, and the water up in Saluda, we know that there's a major issue. They're working on replacing pipe that is, in some instances, 40, 50 years old or more. It's the same thing with the power lines. They're slowly going in, upgrading the power lines, reinforcing them. And there's that statewide push that started a couple years ago on bringing high-speed internet to the rural areas, which is desperately needed.
What about things like schools, hospitals? What is your district like on that front?
Saluda County does not have a hospital of their own. So their closest hospital is going to be Edgefield County, which is a rural hospital. And they can take care of minor to moderate cases. Mm-hmm. When it comes to more severe cases that are critical, require more specialties, there is a shortage. And it's not just here in the rural areas. This is nationwide that there's a critical shortage of medical care personnel. Trying to encourage people to come to this area who have that medical specialty is something that we can work on.
So in Saluda County, if someone has a heart attack, what happens? Is there a clinic or something that's close by, or do you have to drive a long distance to get them to a hospital?
It would be a long distance, and that is where the Saluda County EMS and Aiken County, as well as Edgefield County EMS personnel, are top notch, and they will do everything that they can to make sure that that patient gets to the hospital where they can receive care, whether that is in Lexington, for Saluda County, or down in Aiken or Augusta.
A woman delivering a baby. Do you just hop in your car and sprint to the closest hospital in Edgefield?
Almost every single EMS personnel that has been on the job for a significant time will tell you that they've delivered a baby in the back of an ambulance.
Several years ago, there was a lot throughout the state about some hospitals closing. Many of the rural communities have been the recipients of that, and then not having critical care close by. That seems like a pretty big deal.
It is, and especially women's health. It can take a woman over an hour in this area to find specialized care if there's an issue.
What do you feel the biggest issue is statewide?
Statewide, it's going to be a combination of things. There's a lot of things that are right there at the top of the list. Infrastructure is one of those with the roads. Our DOT is working hard, but unfortunately, they can't keep up with the issues that are going on with the roads across the state. Everywhere that I have been and everybody that I talk to, you ask them how your roads in your area, and almost every single one of them say they need work.
Is there one policy that on your first day as legislator you would change immediately?
What I would say, one of the big things is our schools. And one of the things that I would like to see passed almost immediately is protection of our teachers. Far too often nowadays, we have a student who physically attacks a teacher. They get suspended and they're back in the classroom with that same teacher. We already have a shortage of teachers. We need to protect our teachers. We need to protect our students too, but our teachers are leaving the field at an exponentially high rate compared to other fields.
Let's dive into our lightning round, which is where you stand on some hot button issues. 1 to 10, if 1 is you disagree and 10 is you fully agree with the current or currently proposed legislation. Medical marijuana.
I agree with medical marijuana.
School vouchers for all.
That would be a 10. Yes, I agree with that.
Constitutional carry.
Absolutely a 10.
Transgender care banned for minors.
Again, a 10. Kids aren't allowed to make decisions until they're 18. This is no different.
Term limits for state house and state senate.
Absolutely a 10. That is actually one of the reasons why I am running.
Social emotional learning, diversity, equity, and inclusion in what some people call critical race theory being taught in schools.
Critical race theory, I am absolutely opposed to with it being taught in school. Social emotional learning, I would say 7.
The 6-week or heartbeat bill.
That one I would say an 8. We really need some more exceptions for women that the pregnancy is not viable.
And then last one, how judges are currently chosen through the Judicial Merit Selection Committee.
That one, I would say 5. I'm still diving more into that one.
There's lots to learn for this job, right? It is an across-the-board spectrum of things to learn. Hi, it's Grace, and this is Frogmore Stew. Today, we are talking to Jonathan Ammons. He is running for a state house seat in District 40, which is the Lexington-Newberry part of our state. The state is about 51% female and has a pretty high graduation rate at 86%, 23% at higher education. And he's running in the primary. There are no Democrats running for this seat. This is a seat that Joe White has been the incumbent in since 2022. Jonathan is a Republican and looking to win in the primary. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for being on Frogmore Stew.
Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. So, Jonathan, what have you done to feel prepared to be a state legislator? What in your past has prepped you for this potential job?
My dad currently sits on town council here in Whitmer. I helped him with his campaign. I was looking at how I could make a change in our state and our district, figured that this would be one of the best ways that I could help make a change.
And what do you think the biggest issue in your district is?
Right now, it's mainly our road system. We have very large potholes, a lot of road work where they're having to fix sewer lines and water lines that are running under the road. So it shuts down some of our roads on a daily basis, and it's something that we need to get fixed.
And what are the main towns that are in your district?
Our three largest towns would be Newberry, Prosperity, and Chapin isn't in our district, but it helps out with our district.
And what would you want the average voter to know about you?
even though I am young, I do have a little bit of experience with how government does function. My mother was a correctional officer. My father's a town councilman and a small business owner. So I've seen how government functions with our law enforcement, our business owners, and our elected officials. And I want them to know that I'm here to fight for everybody and not just certain people in particular.
If you could change anything that you have seen the legislature do in the last several years, what would you change?
Probably the way that our educators have to function. Our educators are very underpaid and they expect so much, the legislature does. They expect them to function in a way that they don't even get paid for. They get paid a certain salary a year and it's way less than what it should be because our educators are so much more than just a person in a classroom. They're there to make a difference with our future, and we need to get them where they're getting paid for what they're doing.
What do most of the people in your district do for work? Do they stay in the district to go to work, or do they drive like into Columbia or outside of your district?
Some people do have to leave outside of our district to go to work because a lot of jobs here aren't what they specialize in. We have doctors and nurses that are in our district, and we've got a small hospital. Some of them do have to go into Columbia or Greenville or Spartanburg to work. We've also got some large manufacturing plants here. We have Samsung, Komatsu, places like that, and all. They employ a good many people, and even people from outside our district. Other than that, we've got little small businesses here and there that employ a few people, but most people do try to stay within our district.
So I see that your district has a fairly high poverty rate at 14%. Is that something that your campaign will focus on?
Yes, because even while I was growing up, I seen it while my mother, she was a single mother of four. And some days she had to make the choice of whether she was going to pay the bills or she was going to put food on the table. And there's no reason that a mother should have to choose between that. She should be able to pay her bills and put food on the table for her and her children. And that's something we really need to work on.
So what kind of policies would you want to implement at the State House that could help to do that? What type of policy do you think could help to create better jobs?
We definitely need to work with some of these larger companies to help bring in more factories and places like that to help create more jobs for our district, so that people can get back to work, because there are some people that are unemployed in our district that have been looking for jobs, but they can't find any within our district. We need to get more companies in here to appeal to more people.
And is your district expanding or is it decreasing?
I've noticed personally that there are more people moving into our district, especially the small town that I live in, Whitmer. I've seen a lot more people moving here, even though our small town doesn't have. People have to drive 17 miles from just my small town to get to work either way. But I have seen our district growing.
Our state over the last several years has done a pretty great job at bringing in many of those manufacturing jobs. But some of the higher end, the gray and white collar jobs have been overlooked or not as aggressively targeted to bring into the state. Do you think that there's a reason why that's happened?
I think it's happened because they're looking at appealing to larger cities, Columbia, Charleston, Greenville, Spartanburg, and getting people there. And these small towns are not, they're not having any jobs come in. There's people that are without jobs that are having to go so far that they're not working.
And do you feel like if we worked on education or if we worked on better healthcare facilities, childcare facilities, things like that, in some of the smaller towns, that would be an incentive for some of these companies to move to the smaller town?
I feel like it would be, because a lot of companies, they don't offer childcare to their employees, and a lot of them do have children.
We are at what I call the lightning round. So this is between 1 and 10, which 1 means you totally disagree and 10 means you fully agree with the current legislation. You ready?
Sure.
Lawyer legislators on the Judiciary Committee.
I would have to say probably about 5 or 6, depending.
How judges are currently chosen through the Judiciary Committee.
I would have to say at least 4.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion, the bill that's currently in the House.
I would say probably about 6 on it.
Term limits for State House and State Senate.
7.
Social emotional learning in schools.
Probably about an 8.
Critical race theory in schools.
4.
Transgender care banned for minors.
9.
The open carry law, constitutional carry.
I would say about 8 on it.
School vouchers for all.
8.
And last one, the heartbeat 6-week abortion ban.
9.
Jonathan, thank you so much for being on Frogmore Stew, and we wish you good luck in the primary.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Today, we have Mac Morris. Mac is running for South Carolina House District 81, Aiken. The population is about 38,000. A little bit of an older district, age 49 is the average age, 54% female, 75% white, 16% black, 4% Hispanic, semi-high poverty rate of 8%, great education levels, 96% high school, 46% bachelor's or higher. Hello, Mac. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Your district, Aiken. So what are the big towns in your district?
Aiken has 3 different South Carolina districts. House districts in it. And District 81 represents the south side of the city, including some of the larger communities like Woodside and Fox Haven, and then extending down Silver Bluff Road into Williston, which would be like near Beach Island, Spiderweb, in that rural area of South Carolina.
And you have a contested primary, right? There are 4 Republicans running in the primary?
Yes, there are 4 of us.
What have you done in your life or in your work, your career, that makes you feel prepared to take on this job?
So I'm a pretty active member in my community, both at the city and the county level. There are a few movements in Aiken County, in Aiken City, that revolve around collectivized petitioning of the government for historical renovation, the Hotel Aiken Project, a new chicken plant that's going up. And so I'm pretty actively communicating with members of my community about these topics. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that for about the last 3 years.
What do you think the biggest issue is? It around that, or is there something else that sort of stands out?
In my district, I think it's about workforce development. We have 3 really big centers. We have Fort Eisenhower in North Augusta with their cyber center going on. Mm-hmm. We have Savannah Riverside and all of the contractors related to it. And then we have a clear manufacturing sector in South Carolina, especially in Aiken. And I think that combining these 3 pillars of the community, along with the agricultural side, since there's such a big equine community, should be about setting up the pathways for our high school graduates to pursue those technical careers that might not necessarily be going to college.
I'd love to have you on again to talk about the Savannah River site. That's something that I think should be front and center in the state at all times.
I agree. And it's a huge part. It's the number 1 employer in Aiken. And it is, not only does it bring massive economic impact, you're talking about $1.8 billion a year. You're also talking about 25% of the workforce.
What do you think our biggest issue is statewide?
Definitely education. 1 in 6 teachers didn't renew their teaching contract last year. There's a brain drain on the teacher aspect, and we're not supporting them as much as we should be. That would be the number 1 statewide issue. But I think we have a larger issue about how we handle upcoming artificial intelligence and AI in social media, the way that businesses use them, and the way that they're both socially and commercially integrated into our society.
So if there was one thing you wanted the average voter to know about you, what would be your elevator pitch?
I am a cybersecurity professional. I've been working and doing threat analysis on China, Russia, and Iran, and how they use misinformation and disinformation to disrupt the American populace. And I think that we need to be proactive in handling that. South Carolina has been leading the charge, along with Fort Eisenhower, with the South Carolina State Guard, the Dream Port, and some of the initiatives we have behind creating a cyber workforce to really combat the mishandling of dangerous technologies that we might not necessarily be prepared for. And I think that wrapping our head around that and getting legislators in that understand the technology itself and can put a voice to action is important.
From an infrastructure standpoint in your district, do you feel that you are keeping up with the growth, or is that even one of the top priorities within your campaign?
I think that Aiken is definitely exploding in population, but I think it's manageable. I think the city and the county have a very good handle on where they're going. There's definitely some disagreements on a local level of where the next store goes, where the next subdivision goes. But I think that the local representation has a good handle on it.
I'm sorry to keep jumping around, but back to what you just said about being prepared for the next phase of AI. Do you think that our current legislature even has that as a priority?
I do not. It's the number one reason that I decided to get involved and that I'm running, is that I do not think that it's on their radar. And I think that even if they start to tackle it, that they're incapable of fully grasping or understanding the reality that we're dealing with.
So interesting, because I think that topic is still such a new part of our future of technology, that so many people don't understand it and don't understand how big of an impact it currently has or that it will have on us. It's hard to envision how much this is going to be taking over what our daily lives are like.
At one time, 91% of everyone worked in agriculture. And as we went through the Industrial Revolution, we moved away from those jobs and got into specialization. It's hard to push back technology. We're not going to be able to stop it. So we have to adapt. Mm-hmm. And we need people that can rapidly adapt to it. Right now, you're seeing AI move into commercial spaces where it might eventually upend someone's career. That is within 5 to 10 years. But right now, mm-hmm. we're seeing the drastic impacts of how AI can change the public discourse through social media, bot accounts, Twitter, X, TikTok, Instagram, Meta, where you're using manipulated images that are becoming more mm-hmm. photorealistic every day.
I guess this is more of a national question, but the hearings that have just happened with all of the big social media organizations and then the talk of banning TikTok, do you feel like that is solving the problem, or is that just putting a Band-Aid on a cut-off arm?
If you go and watch those hearings, I think it's the perfect example of how the current legislative body is unable to handle this evolving problem. Those congressmen sat there and interrogated someone about the Chinese Communist Party while he was from Singapore, like representing a company, and right. they don't fully wrap their head around it, or they're going for sound bites or something like that. But I don't think it's a federal issue. I think states can definitely drive change. I witnessed yeah. Colorado drive massive change in the employment by requiring employees or employers to list salary ranges mm-hmm. on job postings. And now that is basically de facto federally recognized, because any online job board or remote job or job that would consider advertising in Colorado is required to do so. While it's not a policy in South Carolina, we benefit from Colorado having that policy. And I think that South right. Carolina doing something similar, where it requires a user on a platform like Meta or TikTok or X or Truth Social to disclose the fact that they're using AI manipulated images, or a business using AI manipulated images or videos during advertisement, that requirement as a disclaimer will drive impact, because if they want to be represented here in South Carolina, they'll have to do it in all the states.
To do what you're saying we do, if you get into the state house and start speaking the language that you've just spoken, how do you feel you would be perceived when you got there by many of the other legislators that are there now?
I'm definitely fighting an uphill battle. I, as you said earlier about my district skews towards the older generation and demographics, I'm coming into this and I have three other candidates who are also challenging me in this race, who right. are much older than I am. I'll be 29 at the time of this race, and I'm facing mm-hmm. off against people in their 60s and 70s. There is a notion of, does youth bring innovation? Is that a guarantee of innovation? Or is being old a guarantee of wisdom? And I think back to when our founding fathers founded this nation, much of them in the Constitutional mm-hmm. Congress were in their late 20s and early 30s. And as a person that's their age now, I think it might be my responsibility to step in and really show individuals that we need youth helping lead the country, because we can't rely on the previous generation.
Now we have to go to the lightning round. So one means you disagree with the current legislation or legislation that is currently being proposed, and 10 is you fully agree. Number one is lawyer legislators on the Judiciary Committee.
5.
How judges are currently chosen through the Judiciary Committee.
4.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
8.
Term limits for state house and state senate.
11, if it's possible.
Okay. Social emotional learning in schools.
4.
Transgender care being banned for minors.
6.
Open carry.
2.
School vouchers for all.
7.
And last one, the heartbeat bill, the 6-week abortion ban.
0. 1.
Okay. I can't tell you how interesting you are. This is so fascinating. No one has brought that up. It's such an important vision.
And thank you all so much for reaching out and having me on. The meal prep's got me all set.
The meal prep's got me all set. Frogmore Stew Meal Prep is a podcast series presented to help you be a more informed voter for South Carolina. We encourage you to verify your voter information and see a sample ballot for your district online at scvotes.gov. Frogmore Stew Meal Prep is hosted by Grace Cowan and Caitlin Brewer, with editing and IT support by Eric Johnson, produced by TJ Phillips for the Podcast Solutions Network.